The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
You listen to the High Spot Podcast. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin alongside the trendsetter, Brian Perga. Follow us on all our social media, High Spot Podcast. Trendsetter, what is going on, man? We're on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. What a week in professional wrestling. What's going on?
What's going on is we're still dealing with a all-in hangover, Jeff. And I'm still feeling it, too, because it's one thing to talk about, to build it up towards the weekend festivities that it was, but also to talk about it post. But just the impact it's been having right now because, you know, as a performer, everybody's kind of going back to their normal routine. But us as fans, us people that cover it, we just can't get away from it because it was such an impactful moment.
I know. I see fans still posting stuff. I know. I still got withdrawals. I was talking to you about, hey, 1 week ago we were here. It's amazing how time flies. Now we are heading into Hell in a Cell, and we're going to preview that for you guys today. We've got a great show for you today. We have Ron Funches will join us, actor, comedian, who was at StarCast, and obviously is a very funny dude, and he will join us on the show. Got a chance to talk to him for a little bit, and also joining us is one of the guys that has created such a buzz for himself in the last few months, and that is Mr. Marco Stunt, Mr. Fun Size himself, who obviously made a name for himself at Joey Janela's Lost in New York, but also did a great job at All in the Over the Budget Battle Royal, and he's still creating that buzz. That's what it's all about, making a name for yourself, and he's taking advantage of that, and he's being booked everywhere. We're going to talk to him shortly, trendsetter, but lots of stuff to delve into, going back now into the WWE, and we just came off Labor Day. Now we're heading into the autumn season. The fall season is upon us. And right before you know it, we're going to head into the winter months, too. So the year is rapidly ending, trendsetter, and now we head into Hell in a Cell. And then, of course, we got the October WWE show down in Australia. So a lot of things to get into, and two great guests here today. But I'm just wondering, off randomly, is there anything that's on your mind, trendsetter, that we can talk about that is going into the WWE that you maybe kind of want to discuss? This is a free-for-all here. This is anything goes today. Anything that's caught your eye in the WWE right now?
Well, what's caught my eye is probably last week, I believe it was last week, Shawn Michaels was there in the middle of the ring talking about how he was choosing The Undertaker because in Australia there's going to be a
Super Showdown
between The Undertaker and Triple H. Supposedly the last time, again, although it was the end of an era, last time at WrestleMania, now it's going to be the final time these two will face one-on-one. And yes, The Undertaker is still wrestling guys, and Triple H looks like he can wrestle for another 10 years. He just looks that good physically. But, of course, Father Time is undefeated, right, Jeff? So this most likely will be the last time these two will face each other in a ring. But it begged a lot of questions because when Shawn Michaels was talking and now came The Undertaker, which was a huge surprise to the crowd, the conversation, the way it flowed between the two of them, a lot of people were starting to speculate or starting to talk about how the fact that, first of all, Shawn Michaels looks like he's in great physical condition. That's without a question. And secondly, they talked about the way he was portrayed. It looked like possibly Shawn Michaels could be coming back for maybe a match or a series of matches. And it just made me scratch my head because I didn't really pay too much attention to it. You've been looking at it more than I have, obviously.
The last couple of Raws have been kind of tedious to deal with, and yeah, just picking out some of them, the highlights of the last couple of Raws, that kind of sticks out to me the most, the possibility of Shawn Michaels coming back.
Now, we talked about it with Austin, for example. We've always wanted Austin to come back, and he hasn't. He's kept his word, and there's a particular reason why. Shawn constantly gets bombarded with the same question, and he gives his reasons why he wouldn't come back. But now, supposedly, the rumors are getting hotter. I don't know how legitimate it is or not, but I want to ask you, Jeff, is that something at this stage in Shawn Michaels' career, or in your mindset of a fan, is that something you'd want to see? Would you want to see Shawn Michaels come back for one more match or two?
I have no issue for guys that want to continue to wrestle. It really doesn't bother me when people retire and then come back because we've seen it also in the entertainment world. We've seen it in the radio world. We've seen it everywhere. And, yes, you'd like to take somebody at their word, but people are allowed to change their minds. What I liked about Shawn Michaels was that as much as the fans wanted it, as much as you know, everyone was yelling out one more match at all the Hall of Fames every time he's been interviewed, and the fact that he had that much of respect for The Undertaker, that he was a man of his word, kind of moved past that for himself. At the end of the day, he comes back as a fan. Yeah, but the thing is, as a fan, you have to be realistic that this Shawn Michaels that you're getting, even though he is Mr. WrestleMania, he's maybe the greatest wrestler of all time, that like you said before, Father Time stops for no one. And if you're going to get The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, don't think that you're going to get Shawn Michaels Undertaker from WrestleMania 25. Yeah. You're going to get what you get. Shawn Michaels is his early 50s, Undertaker as well.
53, I believe.
53. Yeah. I think he just had a birthday as well, too. Yeah. Undertaker as well is 54.
These guys aren't spring chickens anymore.
Exactly. So nostalgia is a great thing because it makes you relive your childhood. And I think there's always a place for that in pro wrestling. But with this, you need to take it for what it's worth. If this is going to be, for example, at WrestleMania, fine. If it's going to be at Saudi Arabia when they have their next show, I think in November, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, it's leading to that. But what bothers me is that the only thing that I'm upset about is I don't want the opponent to be The Undertaker. I know Vince loves these two guys and holds these two men in very high esteem, two of the building blocks of the WWE, right? But I've always wanted, I go back to the table for three, where it was Shawn Michaels and Kevin Nash and AJ Styles. And Shawn Michaels was like, "Well, what happens to me after? What's this, right?" Was it something to that effect? Because I know you really like that table.
Yeah, I always pay attention to those kind of things. Well, the main thing was of, like, for example, if it were to happen, first of all, Shawn would have to do it and prepare himself in a way he's never done before. In terms of, you know, it's different from working with a big man than working with a guy like AJ. You have to get the timing right. You could practice that in the performance center. But like Shawn said, now you're going to ask me to do it in a way that I've never done before. And then he said, basically, ultimately, in the payoff, who goes over? Who wins?
No.
And everybody was quiet. Because at the end of the day, if, for example, AJ Styles won, okay, cool. But if Shawn won, what does that do for AJ? And I get those points of it. But to me, my biggest gripe is that, you know, nostalgia is one thing, and it's great when you see, you know, certain people come back for a particular moment, especially during WrestleMania when you saw Shawn Michaels, you know, when he was in Dallas and he came back and he looked good and we kept saying to ourselves, oh, my God, he could probably do this again. He could probably keep going. It's great then. Some time has passed through there. Here's the thing that Shawn has mentioned several times, even recently. He's like, the thing is, you want me to nip up at 53 years old, and it's not going to be the same. You know, kip up. And it's not going to be the same exact thing. And so with that being said, for me personally, and this is the reason why I was kind of happy that Shawn Michaels had retired or chose to retire when he did, was I'm starting to see a Shawn Michaels that I'd never seen before. Now, granted, he was still athletic, could still do a lot of things he used to do before in the past. But my biggest gripe was I didn't want me to get to the point, similar to maybe Ric Flair, where I said, you know what, maybe it's time for him to go. I never wanted to reach that point with Shawn. And I feel that if he does this, you know, he talks about show business, he's the artsy fartsy guy, right? You want to leave him wanting more. That's when you want to leave.
He did
successfully. I don't want him, if the rumors are true or if it's a possibility for him to come back, it would have to be against The Undertaker because those two could protect each other in the sense that they would work well with each other, and you wouldn't see maybe so much ring rust. If he's with AJ or Samoa, for example, and I'll finish my point right here, I don't want Shawn to get back in the ring and for us to say, yeah, maybe he shouldn't have come back. I don't want that to be the last mark and the last memory we have of Shawn Michaels.
So you're not as – okay, so you think that the ideal match would be The Undertaker. You wouldn't think that Shawn would – be as open to AJ Styles just because of what you just said before. The preparation is much easier to take on a big man than having to coordinate and, you know, practice several spots with AJ Styles to make sure that the timing is correct.
Yeah, for a guy who's been out of the ring for as long as he has at 53, he doesn't move as well as he probably once did. And to work with a guy like AJ, though he's in his 40s now, still moves a lot better. To work with a younger guy, it's not going to benefit Shawn that much. They could go their best to protect him and make him look good, but at the same time, if you're working with somebody like The Undertaker, it's a little bit different because both are running at the same speed, if that makes any sense.
I feel that Shawn could do it. I think that...
Well, if anybody could do it, it's Shawn Michaels.
It's Shawn, exactly. That's what I want to say. If anyone could do it, it'd be Shawn, whether he wants to take that risk. My other question to you, and I'll tell you what I think, is I think that I'm not sure if it's really Sean that has the itch. I think it's more that he has a loyalty to Vince, and Vince is saying that, hey, you know, they're paying some good money.
Did you do me this favor?
I need a favor. Basically saying that they're paying us a lot of money in Saudi Arabia to put on this show, and the whatever it's, whoever runs it, the king or the prince, whatever like that, has a fondness for 90s guys. If you recall, the last time they were there, he wanted a Yokozuna. He wanted Ultimate Warrior because they were like kind of 90s guys. But, you know, he has a fascination with them. And, you know, of course he wants The Undertaker. Of course, guys like Shawn Michaels are going to be a commodity. And I don't know, do you think it's more of a favorite of Vince, or do you think he really feels in his heart that he feels that itch that he wants to come back?
Well, if I have only those two to choose from, I don't think it's because he has the
or
itch.
Or C, I don't know, Trendsetter, whatever you think. Well, I don't want to just limit you to those three things.
Well, it has to be kind of limited because I don't know what C is.
Yeah,
I don't know what C or D.
It's a little bit of both.
Maybe a little bit of both, but if I have to lean in one direction, it might be Vince trying to say, listen, I need a favor from you. Can you please do this? And you would think, you know, Sean's biggest fault to himself, which he's mentioned several times before, is that, you know, he's never done this for the money. He's the worst negotiator, and sometimes he does things when he shouldn't really be doing them, just the way he is. And so, yeah, I could see Vince somehow trying to convince, with all energy he has left, to convince Sean, could you please do one more, or just do this, or let's do a stipulation. It doesn't have to be a match. It could be a fight or whatever the case might be, right? In terms of Sean having the itch, he's mentioned, and I've listened. It's not just from what I hear him say, but when you hear somebody talk, for example, you could tell when somebody talks, oh, they're excited about something, no. Or it looks like they're really into it. With Sean, it seems like he's really made peace with all of it, and if anything, he's had more. The only itch he's had is more of the mental mentality of, oh, it'd be a great storyline to do. Yeah. But he's smart enough to know that, you know, but ultimately it wouldn't work out physically because it's just not the right timing anymore.
You know, also thinking about it, he's been working at the Performance Center a lot. And maybe that itch, you know, working with the young talent like that, seeing them get in the ring, and maybe brings back that wanting to be in the ring. So I kind of believe, though, at the end of the day, I think it's more of a favorite of Vince, but I wouldn't think that would be the ultimate reason why. I don't think just because he owes it to Vince, he's going to come back and do something he doesn't want to. So I'm going to say, even though I did give you an A and B option, I'm going to say it's C, which is a little bit of A and B, but any other factors you think that would lead to Shawn Michaels coming back, or just at the end of the day, will you look forward to Shawn Michaels coming back?
Now here, we're talking about the assumption that he would come back.
Well, according to Barnburner and company, Brad Shepherd and company, and we, of course, know Brad and company, they're very reliable, very credible. It's not just even one match, Trendsetter. It's maybe one or two that could be in the future for Shawn Michaels, maybe one at WrestleMania and maybe one coming up in Saudi Arabia. How would you feel if it's more than one time that we see HBK?
Well, if it's more than one time, then I'd be interested in who the second one would be, because all things are pointing towards Undertaker, right?
Yeah.
In a sense. Who would that second one be? Maybe it's an AJ. Maybe it's something else we don't even know.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the question you're asking me before, or like we mentioned when I said, who knows how legitimate this is, and you're kind of backing it up with Brad, and you know he's pretty accurate in this stuff. But my mindset is, okay, he's pretty accurate, but how many times have we seen a scenario with, you know, for example, Hell in a Cell, Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, and Sean superkicking Daniel Bryan? We thought, wow, that was going to be a match. And Sean wasn't working. No, it was just a payoff for Daniel. It was never going to lead to anything more than just that. Sean's great at using the fans' desire to want to see him come back and kind of
gauge their interest,
trickling that in, but never really fully committing to it, because it's more of just, I'm just giving you guys what you want to see, but ultimately it's never going to happen. So if Brad says it's going to happen, then I should take it at its word, and maybe now the legitimacy is more, but I see it leaning towards The Undertaker, if that's a possibility. Second or third possibility, I have no idea. It's up in the air, because I think it all depends, really, of what happens, that if he does come back for one more match, the outcome of how good it is will depend on whether he does a second or third.
Yeah, and I totally believe, though, that if Sean were to return, I think the ball starts rolling at Australia for the Super Showdown in October for the WWE, which is 3 weeks after Hell in a Cell. I think they get the ball rolling, too, because we saw Sean a few weeks ago. Then Triple H just responded saying he's going to put Taker down. And now I believe that if the ball is rolling, we will see it start developing at Super Showdown in October for the WWE. So that's interesting, too. It's kind of been a lackluster couple of weeks. You think that WWE would realize, hey, this is our chance now to swoop in now. The fan has that that itch for wrestling after All In, but kind of been, kind of Labor Day was kind of a blah, Raw and SmackDown, and, you know, of course, what's keeps the fire burning in a bunch of fans is where they're going to go with the Charlotte and Becky Lynch. The conclusion of this matchup, or the payoff, could be at Hell in a Cell this Sunday. But what match?
I think there's a long lasting storyline.
Hopefully,
the
right?
Two of them. Yeah.
What match are you looking forward to at Hell in a Cell with this lackluster build? Let's say what match are you looking forward to at Hell in a Cell?
Well, I got to be honest with you. Besides Charlotte and Becky Lynch intriguing some of my interest in terms of storyline, there really hasn't been any storyline in WWE right now, whether it be Raw or SmackDown, that has really has got me invested into it. If I'm just looking at something in terms of that, I just want to see it again, it would have to be Samoa Joe and AJ Styles for the WWE Championship. Though I don't really, I want to say I don't agree, because by not agreeing makes me think I'm a fantasy booker and I'm not, or I'm an agent, or I know what I'm talking about in terms of storylines. But this whole scenario with him and it being personal and talking about AJ's family, I just don't feel myself personally that storyline involvement in terms of Samoa joking very personal with AJ is necessary for these two to have a very great storyline or have something else be more meaningful that the audience can commit to. But ultimately, I'm looking forward to those because I think those two have just kind of scratched the surface. I mean, we've seen what they've done in the past. It's amazing. It's phenomenal, pun intended here, of what they've done in the past with each other. But I'm just interested to see where it continues because I for me, Jeff, I really, in my heart, I want the storyline to work so badly just because of the sour taste in my mouth that I got from the whole Shinsuke Nakamura AJ Styles experiment and that not being as successful or not living up to the hype that we all kind of built up in our heads. I want this one to be just as successful because I want to showcase the fact that not only does AJ, we know AJ is the workhorse, he's carrying that company on his back right now, in my opinion, but I want Samoa Joe to get that validation and that notoriety. He's one of the top stars in this business too.
Agree with you on that point. I don't know if it was that overwhelming because I think that Extreme Rules match between Shinsuke and AJ kind of was the best match, so I think that it kind of salvaged the rivalry a little bit. But are you a little surprised that this matchup is not in Hell in a Cell? Because it's not, as far as I know, I don't see it being built. The only Hell in a Cell match that I see is Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton, and then, of course, Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman for the Universal Championship with Mick Foley now as special guest referee, 20 years of Hell in a Cell for Mick Foley. I don't see this matchup in a Hell in a Cell. If it's that personal, shouldn't it be in a Hell in a Cell?
I think so, too. And that's what I'm surprised, too, that you're right. I still haven't myself seen the fact that this was going to be in Hell in a Cell. You like to think it's that personal, it's that bitter of a rivalry that both men want to take each other's head off. No excuses. Let's lock each other up. Not in a steel cage, in a Hell in a Cell, and let's finish this off once and for all. And that can kind of lead to the brutality of a guy like Samoa Joe he can bring to the table. Yeah, I'm surprised it's not in a Cell. It should be like, you know, like Lockdown that TNA used to have. Everything was in a cage. You know, but at the same time, I understand that the demographics of it, you know, you would think Becky and Charlotte should be in a cage as well, but we'll see. I mean, you know, not that anything could be changed nowadays, but you never know. They always flip the script somehow, but yeah, I'm very surprised it's not in Hell in a Cell right now.
Guys, we give you this show every week on the T-Pops Podcast Network, as well as Shining Wizards and B-Plus Player Radio Networks. You can catch us also, too, on Apple iTunes. Leave a 5-star rating and review. Also, check us out on SoundCloud, TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, and Podbean. And Trendsetter, of course, that YouTube channel that we keep plugging. Talk about the YouTube channel.
Yeah, guys, if you guys want to check out more stuff from the, you know, Adventures of the Trendsetter or the Jersey Rant Crew and what we've done, especially in our time in Chicago for All In, StarCast Weekend, Podcast Row, and also what I've done in terms of what I've covered for, you know, AVN, and I'm getting rid of all those videos, guys, so you guys can see everything from Las Vegas building up towards November and the future of January and what I hope to do down the road with Jeff. Guys, go on YouTube and just type in the word High Spot Podcast. It's up and running. You got exclusive interviews with such stars as, you know, we had former Cruiserweight Champion, WWE Cruiserweight Champion, Rich Swann. And just basically look at all the stuff and content we've put out for StarCast. You know, we've done WrestleCon in New Orleans. Just great content. And obviously, full episodes are being downloaded also on YouTube. So if you can't catch it on the various audio platforms, just go to YouTube and you can catch an episode of the High Spot Podcast.
Definitely don't want to miss it. Like and subscribe right now on YouTube Trendsetter. So we got so much more to talk to. We're going to break down a little bit the Hell in a Cell card. I'll also tell you where we're going to be in the next week, too. A lot of wrestling in our future now is now we've taken that little break, but now we delve back into the late part of the calendar for the High Spot Podcast. We'll tell you where we're going to be this coming weekend as well. But first and foremost, Trent, like we opened up the show, we're still in hangover mode here for All In, and there is no better one to talk to than Marco Stunt, a guy that's created so much buzz. You talk about game changer wrestling. Joey Janela lost to New York that summer. Man, he's created so much buzz. Then the next day, the next morning, gets a call from Cody to be a part of the Over the Budget Battle Royal at All In. So this guy's future is bright, and looking forward to this interview with Mr. Fun Size, Marco Stunt, as he joins the High Spot Podcast. All right, Trendsetter, man. We were talking about All In last week. We're talking about All In this week. And the thing is, we still got a hangover, man. And I feel like we need to reach out to people that have been in All In. And when you talk about buzz, no one's created more of a buzz for themselves than this guy that we have on right now, Marco Stunt. Thank you for joining us on the High Spot Podcast, man.
Dude, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, man, listen.
We get time worked out.
We have All In hangover, man. Do you still have that feeling? I know wrestlers kind of have to go to the next town. It's on to the next show. But are you still, like, reliving that in your head? Is it still playing in your mind?
every day, man. Every day. It's I don't know that it'll go away anytime soon right now, to be honest, just because it was such a historical thing. Not only for me, but wrestling in general, you know? It's just the experience alone was absolutely incredible. And I wish that was an every week thing, but unfortunately it's not.
Yeah, if it was an every week thing,
it's
Jeff and I wouldn't be able to survive.
Yeah, man, we get emotionally spent just by watching you guys. Talk about the whole process. And, you know, you get to the event, you get to see the arena. Obviously, it is the largest crowd you've ever performed in front of. Just go back to the day of and just your emotions, and then finally going out there for the Over the Budget Battle Royal.
I woke up Saturday. I slept in, actually, Saturday, because I didn't go to StarCast that day, because I was pretty burnt out, I'm not going to lie. Just because it was a lot of energy and stuff that was being taken from me. So I wanted to save that, you know, for All In and stuff. So I get to the building and my buddy's with me and I wasn't thinking about it. And I knew he couldn't get in. So, like, we walk all the way back to the back to where they're letting everybody in, and they ended up giving me my press pass or whatever, not press pass, but my whatever those things are called. And my buddy had to leave, and so he got an Uber back to the hotel, which sucked for him. I felt real bad. But then I walked in, and when you walk in, you make an immediate left, and you're walking behind the stage. So the stage is on your right as you're walking towards the locker room. And I just happened to see all the seats from where I am. And my heart starts pounding just like crazy. But I walk back to the back of the locker room and stuff, put all my stuff down, talk to everybody. And then I ended up walking out into the arena. And, like, that was unreal just because the setup is just incredible. It's gorgeous. Like, I didn't expect that at all. I don't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting that. But yeah, my the butterflies were there for sure. And then later on that night, or later on in the day, I guess, I walked down the ramp for the first time. And that was really cool. I got to see a whole bunch of stuff that I'd never gotten to see before, like production styles the way they do production stuff. That was really cool. And then finally it was time for the show. And I was real nervous, but yeah. They sent us on, and Colt Cabana was in front of me, and so he walked in, and then I walked up behind him, and as I'm telling you this, I'm watching, like, myself walk up the steps, like, in my head, and all of a sudden the cheers come, and, like, my mouth drops, and I can't stop smiling, and I've got more chill bumps than I've ever had in my life. But really, you know, walking out there was a surreal experience, like just having everybody there and realizing what you're doing. You know, it was just all hitting me.
Yeah, and, especially at 22, right? Because you don't at that age. Sometimes you're still on the independent scene. Maybe you're signed to the Performance Center, but at an early age, and then performing, you know, for maybe 100 to 200 people. Sometimes once you take a look and you're in the ring there, and you're in action, you gotta, I guess, take a chance and look around and be like, wow, there's like 10,000 people here.
Yeah, that was me on while I was walking down the ramp. I was just looking around. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, what has my life become? But, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Well, it became something pretty good, Marco. It really did. At that event, the crowd was behind you. They were cheering for you. They gave you huge pops when you did certain things in the ring, which was really exciting because, to me, what I found really interesting was the mere fact of, you know, Jeff talked and asked you how you felt during the day and how the process went to the arena while you're in the arena waiting for the show to start. What I'm interested in is, what's the psychology in terms of speaking with all the people involved? Because I can only imagine, it's one thing when you're working one-on-one with somebody or you're doing a tag match, for example. There's a lot of things to go over. But when you're doing a battle royal, there's got to be so much chaos in terms of so much stuff you have to remember of certain places you need to be at a certain time. What was the communication like in terms of amongst all the competitors that were in the battle royal?
Dude, actually, it was super professional. We had a meeting with everybody in the locker room, and it was just the battle royal people. So it was us who were in the battle royal, BJ Whitmer and Cody. They were all in there. So we were all talking about everything. Once they gave us the rundown of everything, we knew who was going out or who was doing what in what place and everything. They gave us the basic, like, agenda of what was going on. We got to put the match together ourselves, which was really cool.
Wow.
So we all, in, like, a group setting, we all made a big sample. We were like, okay, this happens and this happens and this happens and this happens and this happens. And we went through and made sure we got all the transitions. And then we were able to go in and be like, all right, let's plug this here, plug this here. Marco, you're supposed to do this here. What was really cool, though, was during the middle of it, like, we're going over stuff. And, of course, you know, Moose was the first one out.
Thanks to you.
Eliminated.
Yeah.
Well, that was... me coming in and drop kicking him out, all that was on Bully Ray. And he's the one that stuck up for me and wanted to work with me and was like, I think Marco would be perfect for this spot. And he's the one that wanted to do the spot where me and him faced off. It was just super cool. Because, you know, growing up, man, okay, let me be real honest. I was like a kid in a candy factory for the first time ever. Being in the locker room with these people, like, it was just absolutely surreal. It was like 7-year-old me would never believe that this was going to happen. But now Bully wanted to work with me and tear apart my chest and stuff and rip out my hair from my scalp. But it was great, you know. No, I absolutely loved every second of it. Working with everybody was super easy. Everybody was super professional. And I really believe that it was one of the best battle royals ever, you know?
Yeah, a lot of people, with the feedback, and, you know, not just the people that were at the event, but people that are looking back, people on radio, people, you know, with their podcast saying that's the greatest battle royal they've seen. So to be part of that has got to be fulfilling for you. But then also, I talk to a lot of wrestlers, and they say that the fear sometimes is when they go out there, they don't get recognized, or, you know, the fear is that, oh, these people aren't going to know me. But you've created a buzz.
That's me.
Yeah, even before that. And, you know, we've seen you for GCW Game Changer Wrestling and lost to New York, right? And that was part of the buzz. You were there. You had a great match with Kyle the Beast, right? Talk about beforehand and the buzz that kind of was created by you, because you obviously caught the eye of Cody and the Young Bucks immediately after that show.
Yeah. Okay, so I would have to say things kind of started. Okay, so at the Scenic City Invitational, you know what that is?
Yeah, it's in Chattanooga, right?
It is. Okay, so I did their whole Futures tournament, and I won that deal. which put me in like to the scramble. And so a lot of that, like, and everything went super smooth. Everything went really good. That popped off real well. I had about 500 followers. I jumped up to about 830, you know?
Yeah.
That was cool. Brett from GCW had actually contacted me before SCI, though, while I was on vacation. And he actually hit me up, not for Lost in New York, but for the Live Fast, Die Young that I'm doing, that we're doing later on in 2 weeks, I guess.
Yeah, in Asbury Park, right?
And or next week. I guess it would be next week, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Asbury Park, New Jersey, I believe. Yep.
Yeah, I'm super excited for that. He actually contacted me for that show. So I was like, yeah, of course, I'll come do it. And then he hit me up a few days later and was like, hey, would you like to come to this? Would you be able to make it to New York, is how he put it. And he told me everything that he wanted to go on. And I'm not going to lie, I was kind of skeptical at first because, you know, I don't know why I would come in through the crowd, but I thought about it and I was like, you know what? Nobody's going to know who I am there. It's a new environment, new people. Why not? And it worked absolutely perfectly. And I jumped up. I gained about 2,000 followers within the next 2 days. Got a lot of buzz. I got a lot of bookings. I got booked for PCW Ultra, bar wrestling. Obviously, I did AAW before All In, and then I got a bunch of bookings coming up that haven't been have been confirmed but haven't been released. So I might can let you in on that later on, but I'm hold it off for right now.
Definitely,
it's pretty awesome, but Marco. I mean,
that's right.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you're good. I was going to say that's, but after that night, that's really what happened. That's what happened with the pop-off was Lost in New York. So I give credit to them for sure because I woke up Saturday morning with a text from Cody Rhodes. So it was pretty surreal.
That's not just surreal. That's pretty awesome. If you ask me, Cody texting me, and I probably have to double check the numbers. Like, is this a rib? Is somebody ribbing me right now, thinking that this is actually Cody Rhodes texting me? But that's pretty cool. I mean, you kind of talked about, you know, after certain events occurred, you get a certain amount of followers following you, and starts growing and growing. Can you talk to me a little bit about in terms of your social media and how important that is right now nowadays, especially now with the business being so interactive with distributing content and obviously going out there and gaining and branding yourself with things like Twitter, Instagram, stuff like that, and using YouTube to kind of promote yourself and distribute your content to other promotions. How vital right now is it for you as a talent to use and take advantage of that to build your brand up?
Okay, so I live in Mississippi, and I started wrestling in Mississippi in the Memphis area. Because I live in North Mississippi, around the Memphis area, and around here nobody uses social media like to try to boost themselves or like use it to their advantage, you know, and try to get their name out there. So I had no clue how to do any of that. I just knew, like, hey, okay, people use Twitter, people use Instagram, might as well, right? So I got it. And if it weren't for social media, I would not be where I was, though, you know, because, and that's the thing, a lot of people don't realize where I'm from is that social media is like the heart of almost everything right now. Like, that's where everybody sees everything. That's where all the new buzz, that's where all the new buzzes, that's where all the things that are happening, not only in wrestling, but in the world in general, that's where everything is. So I either had to get a hold of that and figure out how to use it to my advantage. Man, that's the thing, like I was saying, that's the thing people don't get around here. Like, they think it's just, oh, people are going to come as long as maybe I invite some people on Facebook to my event and stuff. And, like, that's not how it works. That's not how you create buzz. You gotta promote yourself. You gotta invest in yourself and stuff. And like, that's something I had to learn the hard way, coming from where I came from. So
you say you're from Mississippi and you were able to come out to the big city like New York for Lost in New York. Was that your first time in New York? And what are your impressions of New York? What are your impressions of New York?
Dude, I love New York. Might not be somewhere I would like live, maybe per se. Well, not in the city, of course. But man, I absolutely loved it. I like cities though. That's my thing. I really like being in the city. Mm-hmm. So I loved being able to see around Times Square and stuff. And the pizza's incredible there. Like, I don't think I'll ever eat Little Caesars again.
I know. Once going to New York and then now going for Little Caesars, you really can't top a New York pizza. The best. We were in Chicago, and did you have a chance to compare? Did you have Chicago pizza, and could you compare it to New York style pizza?
Yeah, actually, me, Ethan Page, and Jordan Grace, and my buddy Robert all went out right after All In, and we all got some Chicago pizza, and it was great. Nice. But I'm a New York pizza guy. You know?
Yeah.
Damn right. Exactly. Chicago's got nothing on New York. Marco, they don't. And I will fight anybody to the death, especially, but not while I'm in Chicago. In Chicago, I'll give in to it. But what I wanted to ask you, too, I mean, you talk about New York and how exciting it was for there, Chicago. Talk to me about the influence of the crowds. You talk about Chicago. Chicago's known for being a wrestling town. So is New York. So is, like, Philly in that area. And you go to Los Angeles. Ugh. Exactly. Boston, to an extent. What was it like from the Chicago audience and the crowd? Is it a different type of level to describe in terms of, you know, how hardcore and diehard they are?
They know what they want to cheer for, and they know what they like.
So I
was real nervous to wrestle in front of a Chicago crowd and a New York crowd because I knew what I was capable of, but I didn't know if what I was capable of was enough, you know?
Yeah, you wanted to make sure that they were, like, for you. You know, you don't want any detractors.
But I was real nervous when I got there. But the crowds, man, were incredible. Like, the Lost in New York crowd was amazing. The All In crowd was amazing. The AEW crowd was amazing. I love it. If I could just wrestle in those two cities alone, I probably would, you know?
Yeah. No, not too bad. If you wrestle in Chicago and New York, that's not a bad gig. You know, indie wrestling right now, the state of just professional wrestling in general, it's probably as healthy as it's ever been. There's been such a demand for it. Everyone's already, you know, screaming and begging for an All-In 2.
Yep.
Two things about that is the whole weekend, right? You did StarCast a little bit. We did cross our paths, whatever like that. We would have loved to have you on there, but, you know, can't complain because we have you on now. But just the atmosphere, the feeling that Cody was talking about, with the fans and the talent, and then also too, for example, just the state of pro wrestling right now in your eyes, how do you feel it is? So first, talk about the atmosphere of that weekend, and also the state of pro wrestling right now.
Man, okay, so the atmosphere last weekend was probably the best I've ever felt as a wrestler, just because everybody was there for one solid reason, and that was to enjoy wrestling. There was no real negativity. There was nothing real weird there that went on, caused drama or anything. It was just like one big wrestling family with like thousands and thousands of people. So I felt comfortable. It was really cool. I heard somebody say, I was listening to one of the podcasts over, like from All In or StarCast, I guess. And somebody was talking about, you'll just see random people and then like some wrestlers just walk through randomly. And, you know, it's cool just to have that environment of where it's normal to just be in that environment. I'm trying to think of how to word it because I can't.
I know. We're still trying to describe
it's cool
it, man.
It's cool to have like fans and the wrestlers interacting in a way that's not like, oh, hey, good match. All right, hope to see you again. You know, it's like you actually got to connect with fans and let them become more of a fan of you just by letting them in on who you are as a person and stuff. And it, for sure, I don't know. I really don't know how to explain the experience because I just know the atmosphere was amazing. That's really all I got.
No, that's fine. And then pro wrestling in general, the state of it, the demand for it, just what do you think pro wrestling on the independent scene is right now? Just wrestling in general.
I think it's good. I think it's stronger than it has been in a long time. I'm glad that I'm coming up in the era that I'm coming up in. I don't really know how I would have fit a few years ago, and I don't know how I'm going to fit in, you know, a few years from now. But I know right now is the time and the place. Wrestling is at its highest, I think, and I think it's going to go up from here. To be honest, I think it's going to become more of a household thing. You know, more people are going to talk about it. More people are going to hear things that are going on. And I think we're going to have newer fans that don't really necessarily know much about wrestling, but they are entertained by the type of wrestling that we're giving them, you know? And I think that's something that anybody can connect to. Not necessarily a wrestling fan, but I mean, people in general just want to be entertained. And that's exactly what we're able to give them right now. And I love that because I'm huge on the entertainment. I'm huge on like having the crowd behind you and giving them a reason to get behind you and stuff. So I think right now we're at a point in wrestling where everything like that is possible, you know?
Well, there's no question about that in terms of the state of professional wrestling and how much influence it has nowadays and how much momentum it seems to be carrying in, not only here in 2018, but what we hope will happen in 2019. Speaking of that, though, we talked about All In and the historical factor of All In, not to mention the fact that at Madison Square Garden in April of next year, during WrestleMania weekend, you're going to have Supercard of Honor sell out that arena. And when you think of Madison Square Garden, you immediately think with WWE. So now even that's changing where there's another promotion inside Madison Square Garden. What I want to talk to you, Marco, real quick, and just get your take on something like this, is that you talked about how it's a great time to be a performer like yourself and to be a fan into this industry that we all love, basically. We're all fans of it to an extent and want to be a part of it. For yourself as a performer, I always find it interesting because, first of all, it takes a very special individual to go and do what you do. But that being said, you're probably your own worst critic to an extent, right? So if that's the case, as we all are, we're all our own worst critics. But if that's the case, though, it's one thing of noticing your strengths and what you do well. But another thing to become a better, well-rounded performer is to kind of know your weaknesses, too, and work on those. Right now, there's just one thing. I'm sure there's many things in your head that you could think of that you want to get better in. But there's one particular thing you'd want to focus on and say, I want to get better at this, hopefully by the end of the year, to take myself to that next level. What would it be?
I think my character development. I feel like I have a character, and I feel like I've gotten to know my character. And my character is really just me, to be honest, but I'd like to work on, I guess, realizing more about myself in the ring and, I guess my mind just went blank, dude. I'm so bad about talking.
Yeah, it's all right, dude. I mean, like I said, it's hard because you said
remembering promos. That's one thing that Marco Stunt will work on in the year 2018. Okay, so remembering lines and working on memory is one thing that Marco promises he will get better at the next time we have him on. Final one for
not
me.
Only him, me too.
Yeah, final one for me, Marco. is Mr. Fun Size. That name can be taken in so many ways, which is awesome in case the wrestling career doesn't work. Mr. Fun Size can definitely, you know, especially with Blue Chew being a sponsor everywhere now, you never know. But you are, without a doubt, the quintessential underdog. You know, everyone is going to root for you. You are the face. Obviously, if you wanted to, you could also be a heel because of your stature. What do you feel you bring to the table as an ultimate underdog? What do you think? Why do you think people have maybe grown to root for you a lot recently? What has it been? What has been that factor?
I think it might actually be my size because I don't want to say it's easier for me to get sympathy, but like,
how about they can relate more to you,
it's
right?
It's definitely an advantage. It's definitely more an advantage. And I feel like people can look at me and be like, well, hey, this kid is living his dreams regardless of what anybody else is saying. And I think that's super cool too, because I had countless people tell me that I wasn't going to do anything with this, that I wasn't going to succeed or anything. And, you know, I feel like people relate to that, because every day somebody gets told they're not able to do what they want to do, you know? And I think that I'm proving people wrong, and it shows that other people can prove other people wrong, and whatever it may be, not necessarily wrestling, but maybe you're going for a promotion at a job, you know? And people are saying, oh, you don't deserve it, oh, you shouldn't get it. But why is that up to them, you know? You're in control of what you do, and I'm in control of what I do. So what others have to say is on them, but ultimately, you're the one that decides your future. So I feel like that can be a really relatable thing, and I feel like people can get behind that.
No, definitely. They can get behind that too, Marco, and also for the fact, too, that what you just said, you know, there are a lot of people that try to dictate whether you deserve an opportunity, you don't, or you know, you deserve this, you deserve that. Most likely, what I always see from a fan's perspective, because I can speak to it from that side, is that you've definitely earned all the opportunities you've been given, and you've made the best of them. You made the best of them to get All In. You made the best of them while you're doing the over the budget battle royal, and you know, Jeff and I are looking mm-hmm. forward to what you plan on earning the end of this year and into 2019. You know, when it comes to size, Marco, just from experience, it's not the size that matters; it's how you work with it. That's what I've learned.
There you go.
Yeah, 100%.
There you go. He is Marco Stunt.
And you know, that can be taken multiple ways too.
That's,
you know?
Yeah, that's exactly. Why Mr. Fun Size is such, that's why Mr. Fun Size is such a great nickname, Marco. So he is Marco Stunt. Follow him at Twitter at Marco Stunt. And September 21st, GCW presents Live Fast, Die Young, and you will be in Asbury Park for that event, right, Marco?
Hell yeah, I will.
All right, man. So listen, best of luck to you, man. Enjoy all the success, and hopefully we talk to you down the road, man.
Dude, yeah, that'd be great. I would love to come back.
Awesome, man. Marco, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
Dude, thank you for having me.
All right, Trent, that was Marco Stunt, and again, he will be September 21st for Game Changer Wrestling. He will be in Asbury Park, so definitely want to check that out. Another presentation from Game Changer Wrestling, Trendsetter. So, I mean, what an interview. What a great guest. And yes, man, that feeling that we're talking about of All In is still in our blood.
Oh, you could feel it from Marco and how he talked about it, still reliving it as he was trying to kind of break down the feelings and the emotions he was going through from being in Chicago, going to the building, going to the meetings, walking to the ring, walking down the stairs, and then listening to the reaction of the crowd, not getting lost in the moment. And the various talents he spoke to and worked with there, and the experience in general, it's just something that, you know, Jeff, you and I, we spoke about it last week. We spoke about it when we were down in Chicago. Just words can't describe that feeling. You could definitely tell the emotion of Marco and what he was dealing with. But again, so excited for him, happy for him. But he's another perfect example too, Jeff, of somebody seizing an opportunity, earning his spots, and taking advantage of it.
Definitely, and of course, Mr. Fun Size, Marco Stunt. If you haven't seen him, see him in person here in the metropolitan area. He will be there September 21st, Asbury Park, New Jersey, for the amazing event from Joey Janela and Game Changer Wrestling. It's called Live Fast, Die Young, so definitely want to check that out.
How apropos for us, right?
Right. We're living fast.
We're living fast
hopefully
right
we
now.
Die old. That's the only difference between us.
Well, that's the opposite thing, though. Everybody keeps telling me, Jeff, you don't want to die old. You'd rather die young, so you're not feeling miserable as you get older.
I don't know about that.
I can only speak for myself.
So Hell in a Cell is, of course, this Sunday, Trendsetter. We talked a little bit about the matchup that kind of piques your interest, but real quick, going through the card,
sure.
Let's just do our pick-ems here like we always do.
Okay.
When, again, the losers got to buy buffalo wings and nachos. So here we go, Trendsetter.
I still have to wait to see somebody finally commit to this.
I know.
I
owe you. Let's start here. Hell in a Cell starts the real bet. Winner will get buffalo wings and nachos down the road, and a six pack of beer to be named later.
Okay.
All right. So let's go. Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton, Hell in a Cell. Your thoughts?
I got Randy Orton going on this one right now, and I just feel the storyline's leaning towards that direction.
I will go Jeff Hardy. I'll just think that Randy Orton does something.
They would have built him up this much for him to lose to Jeff Hardy. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, but
yeah, and I'm just gonna go. I don't know. It could be, you know, something leads up to a longer story feud here. Maybe Jeff Hardy gets the best of him so far because Randy's kind of gotten the best of him a little bit. Maybe kind of Jeff Hardy comes out victorious here, leading into something later on. But I'm going to go Jeff Hardy. Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre, the brand new Raw Tag Team Champions against Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose here. Your thoughts? I'm going to go Ziggler and McIntyre. I'm going to go Seth and Dean, kind of have a little altercation, and it starts to me the turn of Dean Ambrose on Seth Rollins and his mates, the Shield.
Well, I have Ziggler and McIntyre in this one too. I don't know if that's where I'm leaning towards in terms of why it doesn't happen. Kind of like we talked about with Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy, I feel like this is going to be a while where they're chasing him, but yeah, I mean, that's a possibility where Dean can actually turn. I think the Shield reunion will be something
short-lived.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, we got Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella, Brie Mode against The Miz and Maryse here in a mixed tag team matchup.
All right, so now I'll choose this one since it shows the last one. The way it's set up, you would think that after Daniel Bryan lost his one-on-one match with The Miz at SummerSlam, big stage, that this is going to be the payoff again in terms of him getting that one back with facing The Miz and Maryse. So I have Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella winning this match, because that's the way it just seems like it's progressing itself, though.
See, I have this program continuing further, and I think that The Miz and Maryse are going to further antagonize Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella, and what better way than to beat both of them. So I think that this rivalry continues. Whether it continues into WrestleMania, I don't know if it'll go that far, but I think it does. It looks like the plan is for it to go further than the payoff here at Hell in a Cell. So I'm going to go with The Miz and Maryse.
So you're banking on building the frustration more for Daniel Bryan where this leads into WrestleMania.
Yes, I truly believe. I don't think Daniel Bryan has to take the loss here.
Okay.
So I think Maryse could pin Brie Bella, but I just believe that The Miz and Maryse are going to continue to antagonize the couple.
I'd be interested to see how much Maryse is going to work, because last WrestleMania, or a couple of WrestleManias in Orlando, two WrestleManias ago, she didn't really work that much in the ring. She was coming back against Nikki Bella and John Cena when they were a couple back then. So I still have yet to see Maryse in the ring kind of go back to the form she once was.
Yeah, that is a good point there, Trendsetter. Charlotte and Becky, this is probably the one I'm looking forward to the most for the SmackDown Live Women's Championship. Becky has been on fire. I don't know if it's right for Becky to come out victorious here. Maybe have her chase a little bit more.
Yeah.
Have her maybe lose by disqualification, or maybe have a count out somewhere in this match to just draw the frustration more. Because if, for example, if it ends here, then how is the crowd going to react to Becky now becoming the hunted again? I think she does a great job being the hunter. I think that this role right now, it could go so many ways. I think that there are just on the very, tip of this amazing feud that could happen for a much longer period of time. So I'm going to think that Charlotte retains the championship. I don't know if she'll pin Becky, but I think Charlotte retains and keeps frustrating Becky, because I think that the sky is the limit with this angle, and especially the character elevation of Becky Lynch. Because if you ask me, Becky Lynch right now could easily become a female version of Stone Cold Steve Austin if done properly by creative.
Yeah, if done properly, and that's what you've been hearing too about, Becky Lynch and comparisons to Stone Cold Steve Austin and this new character, this new personality she's been showing on TV. I would agree with you, Jeff. I see Charlotte coming out victorious here. In what way, I don't know, but she just comes out victorious and just building this right, because at the same time, if Becky were to win it right away, it looks bad both on Charlotte and Becky, and then you put your hands up and figure out, all right, where do we go from here? So I think a long build, a chase here is definitely in the works in terms of the biggest payoff is when Becky finally gets her hand raised and makes Charlotte's life miserable. But I see Charlotte coming out victorious in this one.
The SmackDown Live tag team titles on the line as Rusev Day now will challenge the New Day. Rusev Day comes with a very impressive win against Cesaro and Sheamus. Your thoughts on this matchup?
Liking Rusev Day, like the fact that they've made something out of nothing and really have gotten the crowd behind them. But unfortunately, I don't see it panning itself out into anything in terms of reward as the tag team champions. So I see New Day winning this. I still think they're trying to reestablish dominance, which they once were. So if it does happen in the near future, it'll mean so much more. But right now, I got New Day winning.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to pull for Rusev Day here, but the only thing that would do is just have the crowd pop. I don't know if there's a future. I think the future would be to have Rusev and Aiden English maybe split up here. I don't know why that would be in a rush to do, but I see that more than a tag team put a run by Rusev Day. So I'm going to go with the New Day winning their retaining their Tag Team Championships. You got Ronda Rousey and Alexa Bliss for the Raw Women's Championship. Your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are the fact they've gone this far to build up Ronda Rousey. So why would you change it now? It's happened before, but why would you change it now? So I see Ronda Rousey again dominating Alexa Bliss and then kind of moving on from there and see where it goes. I don't see Alexa Bliss right now. No, nor, in my opinion, does she need the championship to prove herself as a star. So if she can move on to another rivalry to an extent, plus because, you know, at Evolution, she's going to be facing Trish Stratus. So right now, she doesn't really need the title. She's making her own path without the championship. And right now, Ronda Rousey is the quote-unquote, you know, she's the box office attraction, right? So why wouldn't you put the title on your biggest box office attraction?
I couldn't agree with you more. That's why I think Ronda Rousey will retain. AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe. I'll take this one, trendsetter, since I kind of went out of turn here. AJ Styles, Samoa Joe has been done really good. I'm surprised it's not in the Hell in a Cell. We got into that before. I'm going to go with... do they do this feud one more match and they have Samoa Joe win? I don't know, but I'm going to have Samoa Joe coming out and beating AJ Styles in this matchup. I think that the title changes hands and AJ Styles' amazing 300-plus days as the WWE champion ends at Hell in a Cell.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would lean towards it more, Jeff, if it actually was in a cell, because then it would show you the brutality and the monster, which
and
is Samoa Joe.
And how personal it is, right?
Exactly. But still, regardless of the fact that it's not in a cell right now, or probably won't be in a cell, I still have to agree with you where I feel like it's going to lean more towards Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe defeating AJ Styles, ending that streak of the long title reign that he's had, and, you know, can't say enough about AJ Styles. And I think it will lead to a third match, but we'll lead into that if it happens. But I see Samoa Joe coming out victorious as the new WWE champion in the face of SmackDown Live.
Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, Hell in a Cell for the Universal Championship.
Who cares? We know what's going to happen. We know who's walking out. Do we need to announce this?
With Mick Foley as your special guest referee. Trendsetter, this is very tough for me because you did all this push for Roman Reigns and then finally beating Brock Lesnar and then to have him lose the next pay-per-view, the next special to Braun Strowman. And what's worst of all is they put the Money in the Bank on the line. So yeah. Braun is putting it. He's facing him face-to-face. But now Braun's aligned himself with Ziggler and McIntyre to combat the Shield of Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins with Roman Reigns. But you know what? It's going to be in a Hell in a Cell, so they can't get in. And Mick Foley now...
That we know of. How many times have people gotten in the cell?
True. And now Mick Foley interjects himself, and he will be the special guest referee.
What an ego Mick Foley has.
Oh,
I need to be a part of the 20th anniversary of Hell in a Cell.
There is symbolism there, but I'm going to say that Roman Reigns beats Braun Strowman because I just can't see them taking the title off Roman Reigns so soon. Here's
the funny thing, Jeff, and I agree with you. I have Roman Reigns winning this one, retaining the Universal Championship, but you talked about how the WWE went through all of this to build up Roman Reigns, of the fact that he couldn't defeat Brock Lesnar and finally did at SummerSlam. But look at it at this point, Jeff. How much have they done building Braun Strowman? The quote-unquote right way, right?
Yeah.
He wins Money in the Bank. You would think by winning Money in the Bank, he's an automatic. This is what the crowd wants, even though now he's turned from a face to a heel, which honestly hasn't really changed much of his personality, because when you see his reasoning behind it, it makes sense. So I can't really boo him or hold it against him, because Roman Reigns started it, not Braun Strowman. That being said, they've done all this to build Braun Strowman, and so now they're going to have him cash in to be a guy who's going to cash in at a pay-per-view and lose.
Yeah, it's...
Now, again, this could not be... You know, they could face off again first, a second, third, fourth time, because they've done that before, and I see it happening here, but for the big event where you're cashing in Money in the Bank, shouldn't it be you're cashing it in to win the title, to get that big pop, to get that, oh, my God, which is what we thought we were going to see at SummerSlam. We thought, you know, that was going to happen, and the crowd was so ready for it, and you do all this to build up Braun Strowman, and you're going to have Roman Reigns go over on him. I understand it. I get it. Why? Because Roman Reigns is their guy. But then why do you put the two together? Separate them for a bit.
Yeah.
This rivalry didn't have to happen right away.
Yeah. And now you have this one where, you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you're not, but they're going to go with their guy in Roman Reigns. So we both got Roman Reigns here coming out victorious. Those were your Hell in a Cell pick'ems. by the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Hey,
I feel like we're Mike Francesa. We're like picking like the over-unders.
How about my Sam Darnold first week NFL, huh?
Oh, God. Jeff, you know, I was so happy for you, really, and I told you. I told Jeff. Jeff, just enjoy it. Embrace the victory. That's it. Get off social media. He puts a stupid picture of the Statue of Liberty in the shape of Sam Darnold. Like, Jeff, you're doing the typical
obnoxious Jeff fan.
For one time, and maybe it'd be your only time. Who knows? I mean, God willing, it's not. But, like, why did you have to do it?
I just act like
you've been there before.
Because I have never been there before.
Well, act like it. It's easy. It's pretend. It's make-believe. Pretend you've been there. I know you have it, but just pretend. You can't pretend? Like, you pretend you enjoy talking to me on the show? Yeah, it's easy. I do every single time I see you. I pretend I like you.
All right, if you're going to put it that way, then I should pretend how to do it.
I shouldn't have to put it that way. You should just know it. Jeez.
Listen, I'm giddy. It's one game. It could change. You know, everyone gets a big ego, a big head after 1 week. But
despite how the season goes, Jeff, the one thing I have to say is when we first saw the first play and the interception went back for a touchdown, to me, what I saw in terms of Sam Darnold was just his character, how it works itself out throughout the season and his future, his career as a quarterback, it still remains to be seen. But in terms of you throw an interception, it's the worst start you could possibly have as a rookie. Your first pass, your first play is that. And you come back and you settle down and you start focusing in. So it just gives the right mentality in terms of the team, the organization, that you know what? Despite anything, we're going to ride this thing out. And I think Sam Darnold has those characteristics where, you know, he still hasn't received the media scrutiny yet. But at the same time, you know, I think he's mentally tough to deal with it.
I think he's mentally tough. I think he showed a lot of character, like you said, a lot of leadership to after throwing your first pass as a pick six and then coming back and leading the Jets and playing so well. I think it's a great job. But listen, it's game one. Someone, you know, one can dream. I really finally believe that we have a quarterback. But listen, I've been burned
and
before.
For the Giants, they got a glimpse of what their running back could be, Barkley. To me, he's an explosive guy. Yeah. Now, again, Jeff, the longevity of a running back is a lot shorter than a quarterback. But at the same time, if this is just a glimpse of what he has, it depends if the team can be better around him. But I think all teams address their needs right now, at least at this moment.
Totally agree. Looking forward to, again, week two of the NFL season. NFL is back, baby. All right, Trentster, that Hell in a Cell Pick'em has been brought to you by Collar and Elbow. Is apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion, from cool-looking headwear to great-looking men's and women's shirts. Check out their entire, now winter, fashion line by going to collarxelbowbrand.com. Save 10% on your entire online purchase just by entering promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST, all in caps. Trentster, if you go on there right now, a lot of the winter clothing is out of stock. That's how popular Collar and Elbow has become.
I believe it, man. It's like similar stuff. Like I'm wearing a cap right now, a baseball cap of it.
It's
very fashionable. Uh-huh. It's very comfortable. It just works. So great credit goes out to us, knowing the people that create the merchandise. Because it's one thing if calling yourself a quote unquote wrestling style company, but you can wear it with anything. Collar and Elbow, a lot of people don't realize it has a connection with wrestling, but at the same time, if it looks good and it feels good, especially material-wise, and you and I are big sticklers on that, where we don't want that cotton or stuff that can breathe.
We've been spoiled by that software.
Yeah, if you have that, you can wear it with anything. So, I believe it, man, and I can't wait to see get my eyes on it. I keep away from the website just for myself because I know, just like if you go to Pro S&T's, you're going to buy everything in the store, but great selection
there. They just steal my money. Them and Collar and
Elbow. They don't steal your money, Jeff. You just give it away.
Yeah. they take my money. They take my money. Oh, Pro Wrestling Tees. Oh, and our shirts will soon be available on Pro Wrestling Tees, too.
Can't wait for that.
Can't wait for that. That will make an announcement hopefully next week on that, Trendsetter. So, listen, it's not only about wrestling. It's about having fun. It's about comedy. It's about getting a lot of guests on the show who we feel you guys want to hear from. And one of the most entertaining guests that I've heard him on Talk is Jericho. I've heard him on a lot of other wrestling podcasts, and he is Mr. Ron Funches. He is a great guy, great comedian, very funny. We saw him at StarCast. We saw him at the Botchamania show that he did with Matthew from Botchamania. Very funny guy. Was gracious to give us a few minutes of his time on Podcast Row at StarCast. We talked a little bit about All In, talked about the atmosphere, talked about pro wrestling, and talked about his brand new podcast that he has. So without further ado, here is Mr. Ron Funches on the High Spot Podcast. Our High Spot Podcast is here, Buffalo Wild Wings Podcast Row, StarCast 18. Ron Funches joins us here
Hello.
At our table. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, and thank you, Buffalo Wild Wings.
what an amazing
I go for some right now, actually.
I know. Yeah. What an amazing time It's been here. You killed it with the roast of Bruce Pritchard yesterday.
You.
It was amazing. We saw you with Matthew Bacciamania. That was amazing. Talk about all the festivities here and you as a fan, how much you've enjoyed it.
Oh, it's amazing to me. It's a beautiful thing as a fan to just come here. I was planning to come here regardless if I was doing any shows or not, but to be able to work this event and be in the first year of it and just being such a fan of wrestling for such a long time, for them to like accept me and what I do, which is not wrestling at all, but still be like, hey, you have a place here and we could use you and you'll be helpful. It means the world to me to just hang out and see the Bucks or see my buddy X-Pac and just be like, okay, these are my friends now, and that's really, really fun, but I'm still a fan and still a mark, you know.
Being a fan and being a mark, which is something that was always negative, I take pride in it that we're all marks. Yeah. But at the same time, you look at this now and the events and the festivities, but also you see the fan interaction, how excited they are, as you can tell, because you're a fan as well. What does that say in terms of, it's probably the best time in day and age right now, maybe back towards the Attitude Era, to be a fan of professional wrestling?
I think it probably is the best time to say. There's so many different viable options to watch wrestling. If you're a big WWE head, there's so many hours to watch there. And if you're not in that, there's a whole other world. I mean, I last month, I didn't think I watched any WWE at all. I was just watching the G1 the whole month, and that's all I needed. It was so much. And then there's just, not to mention the independents, depending on if you're the East Coast or West Coast, and just with the on-demand services right now, and just seeing wrestlers take control and them be in charge is something I'm very proud of, especially as a comedian, as an artist who works a freelance life myself, seeing them take control of their life, it inspires me to take control of what I'm doing and try to not let the WWE of comedy control what I do. You know,
right, you only get one life, right? And if you don't bet on yourself at least once in your lifetime, you're going to live with regret. So
I think that's
one thing that Cody and the Young Bucks kind of feed off of the fans too, because the fans draw inspiration from their story, and they're like, you know what, I should take a chance on myself and believe in myself and go chase my dreams. You know, Conrad has put on an amazing experience, because it was supposed to be just All In and maybe something before that, mm-hmm. and it's become like this fan fest. And
yeah, it's the WrestleMania of independence here right now. You know, and without it, what I like is normally when you see something like this, it's in like conjunction with a WWE event. Like everybody's doing things off of WrestleMania, or now they're all doing a bunch of things off of SummerSlam, and it's kind of like a parasite relationship in that way, where you're living off of the big fish, you know? Mm-hmm. Here, it's just like they're the big fish, and they still packed out a full weekend, you know? It's amazing. It's beautiful.
Now, if you had to pick one match on this card, I mean, it's amazing that this place got sold out in less than 30 minutes before there was a match announced.
Yeah.
What match are you looking forward to the most to watch?
Of course, Kenny and Pentagon. I mean, Pentagon's one of my favorites the last few years. Of the last few years, he might have been my favorite. And then Kenny is the world beater, you know, so I want to see that, sure, but that's the easy answer. So I'll give you a secondary answer, which is probably, I would love a Chicago street fight.
Oh.
I'm from Chicago. I grew up here. I have fond memories of seeing street fights with the Nasty Boys and things of that nature. And so Joey Janela, Heyman Page, you are both killing it right now.
Yeah.
I think they're going to tear the house down.
And I think we know that a Chicago street fight, you can't compare that with a Philly street fight or a New York street fight.
Chicago street fight's
match
or nothing. Yeah, there's something different about Chicago. Chicago street fights can go anywhere. I want to see them out there on Lakeshore Drive.
One final one for me. You will be also, not only that, so you're taking All In, mm-hmm. and then you're going to get to go on a cruise, the Jericho cruise, which we're going to be a part of too. We're going to be there and looking forward to that event. Talk about that cruise. Are you looking forward to being there and then, of course, you know, performing there on a cruise? How awesome is that now Chris Jericho is taking all of this and putting it at
sea. Putting it on sea.
Yeah, he's like land.
Yeah.
Let's attack the sea market, baby.
Let's do it in a hot air balloon next year.
It isn't far-fetched, believe it or not. We're laughing about it.
Jericho, if it's possible, Jericho will do it. If he's like, if we can do this in the air next time,
Let's do it in the jet. I'm excited about it. It'll be my first cruise in general, and just a chance to hang out with wrestlers and fans for a few days and just relax. I hope I can sneak all my drugs on. That's my only concern, because I'm not coming without them. But I'm really excited for it. I can't wait.
Ron, thank you so much for your time. Again, looking forward to All In tonight. And then, of course, what do you have coming up as far as projects?
Oh, on my own, this January, which I know is months from now, but put it in your head. I got a Comedy Central hour special. My first hour special coming out. It's called Giggle Fit. There might be a very, very special wrestling guest in the intro I can't even tell you about yet. I might tell you off air, but I don't trust you, so I'm not.
Well, Ron,
just got that face.
Okay, so this might not be the kind of pop that you usually have, you know, but this is our High Spot Podcast chocolate pop, and we'd love to have
you
to have
it.
Thank you so much.
Please, you got to come on my podcast. I just started a podcast called Getting Better with Ron Funches. If you guys check that out, come on sometimes. We just talk about getting better. Anybody can come on.
That's the best part because we've seen – we've taken, like, everyone's doing wrestling podcasting. We want to be something different, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you know, we are chasing the dream like Cody the Young Bucks. That's actually what brought us here because we're fans, and it's inspirational, too. And your story as well, you were mentioning it, too, that, you know, all the weight loss and how hard you had to work for that and stuff. So that's just all inspirational, too, and we love to be on that show.
Yeah, thank you. Please, yeah. We're
Ron,
appreciate it.
Thank you so much,
much
man.
Respect,
thank
buddy.
You so much.
Thank you so much.
All right, Trendsetter, what an amazing interview. Again, I want to thank Ron Funches for giving us a great few minutes. What can you say, man? Just an awesome dude.
Definitely an awesome dude, but also, you know, talking to him, and again, we spoke to him about the significance of just the events that were occurring at that time in Chicago for All In, StarCast Weekend. We were on Podcast Row. You could hear the energy of the crowd as they were lining up to see their favorite superstars, and just the energy in general of something that was pretty special. So, yeah, it was great talking to Ron. Very funny guy. I like the way he approaches his comedy. Because there's some people that, you know, they go through the comedy. I'm not an expert, Jeff, but sometimes they go for low blows or they go for stuff that's kind of already there. Ron is very creative in terms of his comedy, and he kind of pokes fun at himself, too, and laughs at himself. And I think that's the biggest indication of a comedian when you can laugh and joke about yourself more than anything rather than picking on other people. Gives you a great sign. So it was great to talk to him. You can definitely tell he's a wrestling fan at heart. He loves it. He's passionate about it. We'll see him on the cruise. Can't wait for that. It'll be fun to catch some of his shows on there as well. So it'll be definitely entertaining leading towards the end of 2018, but looking forward to it. And looking forward to having him back on the show. You can definitely tell with him and just with all the guests we've had, there's a passion, there's a desire there, and we're all fans at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, man. So again, thanks to Ron Funches again. StarCast, Buffalo Wild Wings Podcast Row was amazing. And again, we all have that hangover and that we talked about at the beginning of the show. But man, what an amazing guest list we had today. Marco Stunt. And again, actor-comedian Ron Funches on the High Spot Podcast. I'm telling you, everybody, try to top these guests, and you will fail miserably. So again, Trendsetter, got a great week of wrestling coming up this weekend. This Saturday, tomorrow, we have got Pro Wrestling Magic, Not for the Innocent. Pro Wrestling returns from the summer vacation, too. So going to look forward to see that. Our boy Adam Payne will be there, too. Josh Briggs, it's going to be a great matchup. Of course, Hot Dog and Cheeseburger. If you're hungry, come to the show. Don't eat the talent yet, at least not after.
Just stay away from the concession stands, people.
and of course, Trendsetter.
That's where the fight's going to be, in the concession stands.
Again, great guest, though, here on the show. And again, follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast. And of course, we are on the Cheap Hops Podcast Network. It is Brian Fritz's baby, and his show is a flagship show there, Between the Ropes. Make sure you catch that show. You got the Cosmic Geppetto, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, Stu Myers and Justin Simmons, Stick to the Gimmick, Spencer Davies and Martin Harp, and then, of course, the Shining Wizards and B-Plus Player Radio Networks. Check out their amazing podcast. They're amazing. And, of course, we love you, Mark Adam Haggerty. And, Trendsetter, on a very somber note, we want to close the show paying our respects because, of course, this is the week of September 11th. And, again, we will never forget, man, 17 years ago, I think we all remember where we were. And I'm going to leave it with this. Never go a day without saying I love you to, you know, your family. Don't make an enemy. It's not worth it at the end of the day because you just never know. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. Just like that faithful day 17 years ago, you just never know. And you'd rather leave it on good terms with everybody because life is not guaranteed. You're not guaranteed the next day. So, man, I will never forget where I was, Trendsetter. September 11th is just a day that we should all come together. whatever views we have, we should come together and mourn, you know, on a daily basis and pay respects to the men and women who lost their lives, not only just in New York, but also, you know, at the Pentagon, and of course, in Virginia too. So, definitely our thoughts and prayers are always with those people. And again, just a summer note to end things, but we do need to pay respect, because this week was September 11th.
Yeah, you're right. I couldn't say it any better, Jeff. I'll just end it with this. The mere fact that you said, you know, life's not guaranteed and all that stuff. Yeah, that's very true. And I just don't think that the day September 11th should be just a single day where we all come together. I think it should be every single day. And ultimately, just count your blessings and be happy. I think nowadays, Jeff, a lot of people go into their lives thinking, you know, stuff that they want and things that they lack in their life, and they don't really appreciate what they already have. So hopefully people, you know, take moments like this to remember that life is very fragile, appreciate it. Like Jeff mentioned, it's not guaranteed, and just be happy with what you have in your life now, because you never know when it's going to be gone. It's very easy to say, I want this and I want that. Appreciate what you have right in front of you, because you know what? That's probably the most important thing in your life at that moment. So, and that being said, guys, we thank you so much for listening to the High Spot Podcast. For my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, I'm the trendsetter, Brian Berger, thanking you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. We'll be back next week with a whole bunch of other shenanigans that we're always getting in trouble and you guys are used to. And just remember, guys, that when you listen to the High Spot Podcast, we do this for one reason and one reason only. We do this for you, the crew.
Never forget.